2015, an elite DFS Army Commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Joe into DFS pro.
That means it's time for another edition of the NBA Daily Dispatch, brought to you by the good folks over at DFSArmy.com. Use the promo code PODCAST to get yourself 20% off each month of your subscription. That comes out to $16 a month. So what do you get each month? I'll tell you, 24/7 access to the best DFS Slack chat in the business with all of our coaches, pros, and like-minded players. Boomers Ballers cheat sheet, updated projections, and of course, the Domination Station, which struck again last night. Once again, that's DFSArmy.com, promo code PODCAST. I'm your host, Al Walsh. You can follow me on Twitter at 14A.Walsh. And you can follow my partner there as well, Keith Hall, at Boomers DFS Daddy. So, 9-game slate tonight for all the NBA kiddies. What are we looking most forward to tonight, Keith?
It's Friday. Gotta get down on Friday.
Wait, Rebecca Black's not making her appearance at the Super Bowl this weekend?
Oh, no.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
Is she there yearly now? Is she there yearly?
She should be. So, anyways.
So, let me ask you. If they ever made a song about Sunday, I mean, they do. YouTube. Jesus automatically has to sing it, right? It is his day.
Are we talking about, like, Jesus or Johnny Damon? And actually, Tom Brady would happen to, you know, would make the argument that Sunday is his day.
Okay.
So,
I mean, he's had some good performances on Monday Night Football, but sure. I mean, if he wants to be greedy about it, why not?
Well, I mean, he is just one of those guys that can take both Sunday and Monday. So,
Freaking Brady.
No, I think the thing that I'm most looking forward to tonight is it is kind of taking a different approach with some things today. I've been messing around with some different strategies. And one of them is multi-entry on DraftKings, because you can edit via script really quickly, and it takes about, you know, 5 minutes. And I like that. So I think I'm going to up my game a little bit there. So I'm kind of looking forward to that tonight. So going to take it to the next level and build on, you know, kind of the success I've had learning it at a smaller level. I'm going to build up upon it and spend a lot of my time over there today.
Sounds good to me.
So you can refer to FanDuel, and I can refer to DraftKings today. Hey, we got it all covered, folks.
Now, if you're going to be reading my article, which will be out much sooner than usual today because my sleep schedule is all sorts of messed up. Like, I feel like I could automatically become an astronaut with my sleep schedule lately. Like, if anything went down on the USS, I don't know, Apollo 29, I'd be able to capture it because I'd just be up all the time. I mean, I'm working in, like, stints of 4 hours of sleep, like, probably since January, to be quite – well – January was just like a couple days ago, but still, the sleep hasn't been good. I've always been up. So, as I told you pre-show, I've been catching a lot of Criminal Minds episodes. No, I'm not going into the murder game. I like the show. It's a good show.
Hey, Criminal Minds is a very, very good show. I've
very, very intelligently written too, I must say. I always appreciate a well-written show.
So is NCIS. So is
very good.
There's a lot of other ones. We've got some shows that we need to, you know, obviously me and my wife have to catch up now that football season's pretty much over. I have to pull husband duties on Saturdays now. And not that that's a bad thing, because it allows me to, you know, do what I do, and it allows you guys to get – let's put it this way. For those of you in the DFS Army, I spend more time with you during football season. During the months of September through end of January, I spend more time with you than I do my wife.
Okay? Now, that's not me personally, or is that – to the whole army in general as one?
That's the whole army in general as one. But, okay. I mean, if you want to, you know, make a ploy for more time, then, I mean, I guess we could do that.
I'm gonna put it in the request box. We'll see if it gets answered.
Okay. So, but yeah, we got 9 games tonight. Kind of some situations that people are going to be shocked about. I've been... besides the hour and a half drive to go drop my son off, I have absolutely just been crushing the research on this slate already.
Nice.
So Domination Station will be uploaded here pretty quickly, and we shall have a lot to talk about today. I can promise you that. But we're going to be short, quick, and inefficient with the timing of it as well.
That's good. Yes, I must say, in writing the article so far today, there's a lot of one and dones on a lot of these teams tonight. So
that's an understatement.
Yeah, should be a pretty quick one. All right, as opposed to what you usually do. All right, let's just jump into it. We'll kick it off down in Mickey Mouse's house down in Orlando, where the Toronto Raptors are 5-point favorites against the Magic in this one. Total opened at 211, dropped a little bit there to 209.5, not that big a difference. Money line is at 200 in favor of the Raptors. That's the Magic number cutoff line for me. No, maybe a little bit of pun intended there, since the Magic are in this game. But we should note here with the spread, Raptors are 7-2 straight up against the Magic in their last 9 meetings, but only 3-6 against the spread. Season series is tied at 1. Raptors absolutely kicked the crap out of the Magic in Orlando, and then Orlando returned the favor with the 1-point victory up there in Canada. Magic are 1-4 in the last 5 games. Magic also play tomorrow night in Atlanta, just so we note that. For both teams, a couple injury news notes. DeMar DeRozan is questionable. They say he's going to try to give it a go and shoot around today. He has missed 5 of the last 6 games with the ankle injury, so that's a situation to be notified about. And then Jody Meek's out indefinitely with the thumb surgery. That's it for the Magic. So only one guy on each team that we're worried about. Well, not worried about Jody Meeks. But what are we doing here with the Raptors tonight?
This line seems a little bit off for DeMar DeRozan, quote-unquote, giving it a go, wouldn't you think?
Yeah, money line, that's more or less what I'm looking at. But, again, it's right at the cutoff. So I guess I got to
decide. I think it seems low. Game. Because if DeMar DeRozan's healthy and playing in this game, there's no way that this game is is below a 6-point spread and below 250 on the money line, right? Am I right there around that cutoff
since
range?
Since the Raptors are on the road, sure. I mean, I think it's reasonable, but we'll see.
Yeah, but the Magic haven't been playing that good, and the Raptors haven't been playing that bad. I mean, that was a hard-fought game in Boston the other night, and I understand they kind of poo-pooed the bed, and they should have won that game. But I mean, still, you're talking about the number 3 team in the East right now going against a bottom feeder, if I can be so bold, which I guess I just was. I have interest in this game. My interest on the Toronto side is going to depend on that DeMar DeRozan news, just like everybody else's, because then – okay, so let's approach this 2 different ways. If DeMar DeRozan is out, okay, obviously we can fire up Norman Powell and Kyle Lowry again. And actually, I would say you can only fire up Norman Powell in – What's his price over there on FanDuel?
I'm glad you asked because I was about to tell it. But 5,100 has actually jumped. So a $900 increase there from the last time the Raptors took the court.
I guess that's not too bad.
I think, you know, it's right where it should be in these games where DeRozan is out. I mean, obviously, we don't know what the deal is. We got to wait until, you know, see what happens with the pregame warmups. But, yeah, I think that's a spot. And again, it's tough to tell when a guy's going to be out or whatever. But 5,100 seems appropriate.
Yeah. Here's the issue is that he is $5,700 on DraftKings. I can't go there. Not with Evan Fournier, $5,000. So he's a fade on DraftKings for me, even if DeMar DeRozan is out. But he's very, very, very interesting still over there on FanDuel. I can't see myself playing him at that price. Not when I can go get Kyle Lowry. I can, you know, play a little bit of Terrence Ross, maybe. Lucas Nogueira has been playing well. I mean, he's been playing last 10 games. He's averaging around 23 minutes. Played really, really well the last two games against New Orleans and Boston. And those are games, or those are matchups that are kind of maybe not as tough as Orlando is. I mean, Orlando does have, you know, Serge Ibaka and Bismack Mbiambo, but, you know, it's not difficult. It's not like we're talking about, I really honestly don't know of any good teams as far. It's not like we're talking about the Oklahoma City Thunder and Steven Adams, so.
All right. Yeah, I mean, look, a lot of this is going to depend on what happens with DRZ. You know, it's crazy that the only game that DeRozan has taken part in the last six Raptors games was the Sunday meeting between these two teams. Now, Lowry posted 49 FanDuel points in that game. That was, again, with DeRozan. So, I mean, he seems like a fairly safe play overall. I mean, the pace is going to be right there around average. You can do what you want there with Lowry. I think he's a fine play.
I think he's a good play either way.
Yeah, obviously the upside becomes a better chance with DeRozan out. But, yeah, I can go either way on him. And you'll probably get a pretty favorable ownership percentage on him, too, if DeRozan plays, because a lot of people might be like, I don't know if I want to do that. He could still be the guy in this offense, so don't dismiss him just yet.
Yep. So, what's your thought on Evan Fournier at his extremely decreased price tag?
Yeah, he's got to go off one of these days, right? And you know, we talk about being on the train before anybody else is. So, this could certainly be a night. I have this weird thing. I feel like the Magic play well at home on Friday nights. It's just something I've always realized with this team. I mean, if I want to get down to the bones and grits about it, maybe, I don't know, like, you know how Orlando always gets a bunch of tourists? Maybe it's always more of a crowd on Friday nights. I have no idea. It's just something I've always noticed with this Magic team. So whenever they play on Friday night, I'm a little bit more interested than I am on the other 6 days of the week. Again, that price is great on Fournier. He hasn't shown us much yet since he's returned from the injury, but again, if you know you want to take a decent shot there in GPPs, I don't see why not.
Yeah, he came back. He played 23 minutes the first game, 30 minutes last game, and now you're telling me I get a guy that should be priced around 7,000 minimum for 5,000 that's going to play 30 minutes. Now, granted, it's not 38, but I can pretty much guarantee he's going to play 30. You're telling me I'm going to get that? Yep. Fire him up. I just stat mused this because you said you had some interest on the Orlando Magic on Friday nights at home. They are averaging on six home games on Friday nights this year 99.5 points per game. So that's not you got to think that's not bad when you consider over the course of a season six games. Right. They're averaging 99 points per game at home. You know, they're.
I'm sure they had one shitty performance there that just brought the whole average down.
Exactly. I mean, when you're talking that small of a sample size, you know, having an 83 point night can absolutely just ruin that average. So, I'm not going deeper into it as far as the actual game by game breakdown. So,
now, you know, while we're talking about the Magic, I don't mind attacking the Raptors down low. We've seen it happen before. It could certainly happen again. Vucevic just dropped 52.5 FanDuel points on him on Sunday. You know, you got to think they're going to try to do something to neutralize him. He's been playing well once again, you know, after that, you know, bout of slip ups that he had. But, you know, Ibaka here too, he's posted 76.3 FanDuel points over his last two games, and that's in 74 minutes. So, you know, I've got the point per minute thing working there for him. Now, I like going with power forwards against the Raptors. That's been a thing. So if the Raptors want to, you know, put more emphasis on Vucevic tonight, maybe that opens up a little more for Ibaka. You know, Ibaka,
well, here's the thing. Jonas Valanciunas has to stay out of foul trouble first.
Well, I wrote that down. Oh, I wrote that down. I said he should be well rested for tonight's game because he got plenty of it.
Kidding.
Plenty of it. But again, it's going to depend a lot on what the Magic do. But I could certainly see that happen. You know, if a guy torches a team, you know, less than a week prior to the time that they're just meeting now, conventional wisdom would have you think, all right, let's key on this guy. He just torched us. So that could open up some things for Ibaka, and I don't mind that. I believe 6,000 on FanDuel.
Which means in tournaments, if you're making like one or two teams and stuff, then you would say that game theory-wise, because I like, you know how we like us some game theory. Game theory-wise, you would say that Vucevic, because of the game log watchers, is going to be a good fade, and we can attack through Serge Ibaka, correct?
Absolutely.
I like that leverage play.
Yeah, I would say, like, I think you can go either way. It just, again, it's going to depend on what the Raptors do. But, you know, typically, like last game, Vucevic and Ibaka both went off. But, I mean, typically, you're going to think one or the other is going to go off. But I do think either one of these guys could have a pretty good night. Just a matter of who it's going to be. If you're doing multi-entry, you know, might as well split them up. But somebody going to get busy.
Yeah, I mean, on DraftKings Center.
It is just Friday night in O-Town, Keith. I mean, am I right or am I right?
I mean, you're kind of right. But then again, I would probably guarantee that somebody's going to get busy in every single one of these towns on a Friday night. Yeah, look.
You know what a Friday night in O-Town sounds like? It sounds like the DVD that came with the album. Like, remember when people used to buy albums? It sounds like the behind-the-scenes DVD of the band that came with the stupid album. Anyway.
Because we're back here, baby.
Okay. Oh, you even know the lyrics.
That's the only thing I know. And I didn't even know if that was O-Town or not. It was just the one that popped into my head. So,
all right, we're done. Once we start singing O-Town songs, we are done with the game. We got to move it along. We'll move it to my neck of the woods, where the Pacers are 6.5-point favorites at the Brooklyn Nets tonight, -305 on the money line. Got a nice voluptuous total here of 222. Pacers are 2-1 against the Nets this season. Nets won the first meeting between these two teams in Brooklyn, which is where they are tonight. Pacers do play at home against the Pistons tomorrow. A couple injury news notes here. Rodney Stuckey has already been ruled out with a sprained ankle. Joaquin Christmas, Santa's favorite, is questionable with a groin injury. And, of course, for the Nets, Jeremy Lin, he's out with the hamstring injury. He's never coming back. Let's start it with the Pacers in this one. If you look at the three meetings between these two teams, Miles Turner has the most out of any Pacer. He had 55 the last time. These are FanDuel points. He had 55 the last time these two met. And then Jeff Teague in that same game had 52.9 FanDuel points. Other than that, nobody else has gotten more than 40 points against these Nets. But to me, it's pretty simple. Paul George, Jeff Teague, Miles Turner are my three targets here, and that's that.
Paul George is an easy fade for me tonight.
Oh, do tell.
He's got no upside now.
Well, yeah, the price, it's a bit much.
I was about to say, wait a second here.
Let's go. He came back down again. 8,700 there on FanDuel.
And when we got the upside, we were getting him at 7,073. Now you're talking about a $1,300 increase from when he started this little tear. And he's 81 on on DraftKings. And he kind of shit the bed last game.
Oh, kinda. He had his worst performance of the season last game. But so, you know, prior to that, that's when he was, you know, being a lot more aggressive within the offense. Just those games where he was putting up, you know, like 45 fantasy points, he came out of the gate just taking all these shots. I remember the last time the Pacers played, I had it down. I mean, he was taking shot like 22 field goal attempts, 23, 24, things of that nature. So, again, against the Nets, they're the fastest-paced team in the league. I'm sure, you know, he's going to want to, you know, get back to where he was just a couple games ago.
Sure, he's going to want to.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look, who's the hell's going to stop him, right?
Well, see, that's the thing. And if I'm looking at ownership percentage, and, you know, we know that targeting the Nets is always what people like to do. So if I'm looking at ownership percentage, and then all of a sudden I'm sitting here going, okay, why do I want to pay an elevated price tag for a guy that's not shown that he's as dominant this year as he has been in years past? I don't. I would rather just go to Miles Turner and Jeff Teague.
Fair enough. There's another small forward in an extremely juicy matchup tonight. For argument's sake, we'll call him Jimmy Butler, and we'll call the other team the Rockets. Which one would you rather have in that scenario? And you got to remember, you got to fork over
between Paul George and Jimmy Butler.
Sure.
Do I like naked women and big boobies? Seriously, it's Jimmy Butler, hands down. Like, it's not even close.
You got to pay up a little. You got to pay up, I believe, over $1,000 more. And again, it's the Nets too for Paul George. So you know it's. Let's not make it a "do I like boobies and naked women" discussion. This is a decent argument.
Yeah, I mean it's a decent argument. I guess you could say that profit potential. No, not even then. Jimmy Butler. I mean, Jimmy Butler and Dwayne Wade are the Chicago Bulls right now. You know, for the Indiana Pacers, you have Thaddeus Young that could get hot in a revenge game again. You've got Miles.
Don't call it a revenge game. Don't call it a revenge game.
I mean, technically it is. I mean, the Brooklyn Nets
narrative street because
the Brooklyn Nets pretty much said that they didn't want him on their team. And when the Brooklyn Nets,
when he got that call, it was actually
he was probably happy.
His head hit the ceiling. He's like, going to play competitive basketball again.
He was probably excited, but you're sitting there going, okay, but when the Brooklyn Nets tell you that they're trading you, they didn't want you, and what for whatever purpose, whether it be salary, you know, whatever the deal is, then you kind of get a little bit salty. At least I would. You're telling me
you know who the Nets
I can't be an asset
in that trade?
Caris LeVert?
Ding, ding, ding.
I mean, I'm not saying it's not working out for him. That's not. But what I'm saying is, as a person, you're telling me I can't be an asset to one of the worst teams in the NBA? Yeah, it's a revenge game. Now, I do think revenge games are a little bit overblown in some aspects, but it's not something. I mean, he's performed consistently pretty decent against you guys this year. And that's not something that you – I said consistently pretty decent. I never said great. Don't you dare put great in my mouth. He had one bad game and one great game.
The first time they played, he had, damn near 36 FanDuel points. After that, I believe, one was 18, the other was 22. But, again, I'm not averaging the revenge 26, game. I just say in the article today, I say he's parked on narrative street.
Yeah. And I think a lot of people are going to chase that. But anyway, to get back into our discussion about Paul George, he has that option. You know, he also has Miles Turner, who's in a fan-freaking-tastic spot. He also has Jeff Teague, who's in a fan-freaking-tastic spot. So, and I mean, I think people are going to be down on Jeff Teague because, especially on DraftKings, where, okay, he was coming off of a run where he went 53-41-49. And his price went all the way up to 74 against Orlando, and he ends up putting up a 25. And then his price increases against the Brooklyn Nets. So I think he's going to be higher owned, but I don't think he's going to be as high owned as he should be. I would say probably right around that 25% mark, and he's cheaper. And Miles Turner on FanDuel or DraftKings, I think, is an absolute steal at 6,900. I mean, I would rather go there with my options tonight rather than with Paul George. Kind of, kind of like what we talk about with the Houston Rockets and James Harden. I would rather get my ownership and my production and my exposure to Paul George in case he goes off through everybody else on that team rather than Paul George himself, especially at a position where I've got Jimmy Butler. We've got some other situations that we'll talk about a little bit later on. And I really like Jimmy Butler, and I really like a couple of these other ones as well.
Fair enough. All right, let's talk about the Nets for a little bit. Brooke Lopez is going to be coming off one of the worst performances I have ever seen by a basketball player in my entire life. Everybody in that game shit the bed against the Knicks, with the exception of Rondae Hollis-Jefferson, Trevor Booker. We'll get to them in a minute. But, Lopez has a pretty good matchup here against Turner. I don't really like the outlook for the Nets tonight, so I'm not going to be as gung-ho on them as I usually am. Again, just the money line, minus 300 is telling me that, this should be a game that the Pacers win comfortably. So, I'm fine with that. I've given up all hope a long time ago. But you do have some decent value plays there. Hollis Jefferson, Caris LeVert, Bogdanovich. I mean, again, you never know who it's going to be. Isaiah Whitehead's a guy that I'm not afraid to go back to. Again, he got the short end of the stick on a couple of those calls. I hate blaming referees in any sport, but he did get two really shit calls against him, and him being in early foul trouble really kind of put one foot in the grave for him on that night. Also, Brandon Jennings was being a complete douche the entire night in his ear. He's young. He's going to learn from his mistakes, but remember, this is a guy that posted 6x value in 4 of the 5 previous games before Wednesday. And then Trevor Booker actually came off the bench for the first time as a Net on Wednesday, and he too was limited by foul trouble. And when I say limited, his 27 FanDuel points that night in only 16 minutes was pretty damn good. It could have been a lot more if he weren't in foul trouble, but I don't know what the hell was going on with that team on Wednesday. That was just a piss poor performance all over the board. But again, I think there's some pretty decent value in other spots tonight, but if for whatever reason you're looking for value in this game, those are definitely the guys that I would go to.
I want Rondae Hollis-Jefferson to get the start again over Trevor Booker because he played extremely well. Still left some points out there on the floor, and he's about the only Net that hasn't screwed me over.
Fad 2.0.
Yeah, for me, look, it's RHJ and maybe a splash or two of Bogey. That's it. Like, that is it for me. maybe a splash or two of Brooke, just because, I mean, Brooke doesn't have the ability to, play pretty well. Now, whether or not he has the wherewithal or the want to is completely different. But he does have the ability. That's my only exposure to Brooklyn. And it's it's going to be extremely limited, except for RHJ. And RHJ's only if he gets the start.
I feel that. Your boy Kilpatrick put up 33.1 against them the last time they played. But, and he's also down to 3,800, which is kind of crazy. You never know when the production's coming from him, but thought I'd throw that in
You're
there.
Damn right I don't, because every time a net goes or a net doesn't go off, you ask him if I played him.
I do, and I won't stop. Can't stop, won't stop. All right, let's go to Detroit for this next one. Minnesota Timberwolves are there, but the Pistons are -3.5-point favorites. Pistons favored on the money line at -165 in this one, which is a bit telling. Over-under at 211. Pistons did win in Minnesota by 27 points earlier this season. Both teams do play tomorrow night. Timberwolves at home for the Grizzlies. Pistons are in Indiana. No injuries for the Timberwolves or the Pistons in this one, so this should be pretty straightforward. Karl Anthony Towns, this is weird because we've seen Anthony Davis do very well against the Pistons. I would liken Karl Anthony Towns as a, you know, similarly profiled type of player against them, although he's never reached 40 FanDuel points in any of his three career meetings against the Pistons. With the fact that, the Timberwolves have kind of a decent outlook in this game, could you go to Towns in this one, despite having a massive price tag at that?
Yeah, you can. It's not out of the realm of possibilities. I was kind of looking at somebody else, but I'm not sure if that's a possibility either. I was looking at Andrew Wiggins, but that's not. Here's the thing is I really, really like this game. I think it's really, really sneaky because everybody's going to go the Pistons at home, bleh, you know, because that was my first thought. And so you start looking deeper into the numbers. If I'm playing Karl Anthony Towns, I'm pairing him up with Ricky Rubio tonight. And if you're wondering why I've done a complete 180 on Ricky Rubio, it's because his average points per game has gone up from like 7 to around 14. He's getting to the free throw line a little bit better. His jump shot looks like it's not completely out of Mars, and it's still not great, but it's not Rajon Rondo-esque anymore. And he works really, really, really well with both Wiggins, LaVine, and Karl-Anthony Towns. He's going to grab you 2 to 3 steals a game. I think he's right there, right behind Russell Westbrook as far as steals per game in the NBA. It's just those are my two on this aspect. Now, the problem I have with this is it would only be I'm only pairing up the two. I'm not playing one of them without playing the other. Because I want we talk about correlation, you know, not as much in this sport as we do other sports, but we do talk about correlation in basketball with guys, and we have the perfect four in this one as far as a lot of good correlation. I don't see Detroit stopping the pick and roll with Towns and Rubio. And I don't see Minnesota stopping the pick and roll with Drummond and Jackson either. Those are my four targets in this game. Maybe a little bit of John Lewis, but just because he's going to have Gorgui Dieng, it really, really, really does temper my expectations on what we can expect from Lewis tonight.
Yeah, there's a couple different matchups here. I love I do like the matchup for Towns. You know, it's weird, too, because I kind of went back and saw, you know, what's working well against Andre Drummond. It tends to be, you know, those stretch bigs that can do well. You know, as I mentioned, Towns profiles very well to Anthony Davis, so that works. I mean, point guards have been doing pretty well against the Pistons, but I am not really interested in Andrew Wiggins or Zach LaVine in this one. I think both have difficult matchups, but the other, you know, and it's crazy because everything Vegas is saying here is saying, hey, Timberwolves looking pretty good here tonight. So yeah, I think I would limit my exposure there to Towns and Rubio. But I mean, you can't knock any of these matchups here for the Pistons either. I mean, you know, you're gonna have KCP going up against Zach LaVine, who is the fourth worst on-ball defender in the NBA.
I agree. Here's KCP's my problem with this.
The ownership percentage.
Uh-huh.
I was gonna get there. And yeah, he dropped the burger last game. That's gonna make him incredibly appealing. And you know, it's not just that last performance. I mean, you take a look at his minutes since he's gotten back from an injury. SVG wasted no time getting him acclimated back in the mix.
Oh, 37, no.
34, 36, 39. I mean, it's a great matchup. You know, 50, that's crazy. You know, you got to keep in mind, too, he played the Pelicans and, you know, nobody to stick him, really. So, yeah, I'm definitely not expecting 50, but value is certainly in the cards.
Yeah.
And then, too, I forgot, you know, Marcus Morris is probably going to have that great matchup against Andrew Wiggins, but he hasn't done shit since KCP returns to lineup. Hasn't even gotten to 20 in the four games since KCP's been back, so I can't with good faith do that.
Do you expect him to? I mean, seriously.
Hell no. I mean, but it's funny. You look at Marcus's totals when KCP was out. I mean, he looked like he could have been in the damn All-Star game, but since KCP, and you know, I've known these things just by doing the, you know, NBA Wowie and Court IQ and whatnot, but just to see the dress, I mean, you know, you could even check the game logs if you don't want to go into all those complex programs, but yeah, just take a look at Morris's four games prior to the last four. It's, you know, it's a night and day situation, but you know, Morris is incredibly cheap, and I think a lot of people might try to go that. Not a lot, but a decent amount of people might try to go that way. But don't do it. It's not going to end well.
Yeah, I'm not.
What do you do with Andre Drummond here?
Play him. let's see here. Centers, FanDuel.
Let me throw this out there, right? So Drummond, his last four against the Timberwolves, he's done pretty well. I mean, you know, 38, 36, 42, 49. And you know what's crazy is that he's not even playing that many minutes against them these last couple times. I mean, he's averaged it's just over 29 minutes per game. And this sounds incredibly stupid to say, but as is the case with most players, the more minutes they play, you know, the more points that they get. It's especially dependent for him because, you know, he's a guy that we really don't see his massive upside unless he's grabbing these like 20 rebound type of games. And he's done very well lately. That the last game, you got to call that a misnomer, you call it what it is. But this guy certainly has the ability to just put some massive numbers up.
I'm going to read you off a list of these of names, okay? You ready? Nikola Vucevic.
Boy, am I. Okay.
Enes Kanter, Frank Kaminsky, Steven Adams, Yusef Nurkic.
Are you listing all the white centers in the NBA?
That is kind of funny. They have all gone for over 30 FanDuel points against the Minnesota Timberwolves. Now, here's the funny thing is,
besides them being all white?
Yeah, besides them being all white. The guys that you would expect, Andre Jordan, DeMarcus Cousins, they've also put up 40 spots against them as well. It's kind of funny to sit there and think about it. Um, but this isn't some place where I'm shying away from.
Oh no.
I think Carl Anthony Towns brings that quote unquote mantra, as you know, he's a higher priced player. He's an elite defender. That was all just in November. That was all just the first 30 days of the year, and that's just because I can't figure out how to get the rest of it going right now. So,
You do most whatever site points, and then that's it. I got you, homie. I got you. All right, let's move it along to the next game here. We've got the Chicago Bulls at the Houston Rockets. Rockets -7 in this one, -270 on the money line, 223 on the total, 223.5 on the total. That's going to be our highest of the slate. Now, the Rockets absolutely chumped shit last night. Tim Hardaway Jr. just made the Rockets his bitches. I fully expect a bounce back game. And I wrote about this in the article today, but I don't know. Now, baseball, you played like consecutive days a lot, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's good. Me playing hockey was rarely a back-to-back day unless you're like at a tournament or something like that. So I feel like when you have a really shitty performance, it is best to just get back out there on the playing field the next day as opposed to having a couple days to sulk about it. And I think it kind of brings you down more. I feel like, when you're on a when you have something shitty happen to you, the next day you get an opportunity to make it better. It's actually better for a team because it kind of like you're able to use that as fresh momentum. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it is one of the reasons I like Harden today. Now, at the beginning of the show, we talked about a lot of one and dones for teams. Harden's my guy tonight. Now, I know he's going to see a combination on defense of guys like, Jerry Grant, Jimmy Butler, Dwayne Wade. It's not exactly an easy, trio to have to go at. But, we've seen Harden perform very well on the back end of back-to-backs. And the fact that they blew that lead last night, especially against Dwight Howard and his damn team, I think the Rockets are going to come out very motivated. And, this is a team that has not been playing good at all lately.
Yeah, they're kind of, I don't want to say reeling, but they're reeling.
no offense, but here comes some offending on you.
Yeah. You're sitting there looking at it, and I kind of said it last night in Slack, and it was just basically to troll you and your unmitigated love for his probably stinky beard.
A lot of people, including myself, shampoo the beard. That's the way to go.
Oh, yeah, I do too. But that's not...
Is it a nice flaw?
Yeah, that's not the point. Look, dude, when you're up with...
He said his probably stinking beard.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
I said you're in love with it, but...
There's a wonderful scent of shampoos you can use.
I know, but... Okay, you're up 19 with that team with 9 minutes left to go in the game. You should not lose. And you should definitely not lose to Tim Hardaway Jr.
Oh, yeah. We're in the same boat, my friend. I believe me.
So that's your MVP.
Yeah, a guy's allowed to have a shitty stretch throughout the season. It's okay.
Shitty stretch as a team. I understand that. That's fantastic. But MVPs don't let you lose after up by 20 in the fourth quarter to Tim Hardaway Jr.
They did last night.
Russell Westbrook would never have let that happen.
He might not have let it happen, but it sure as hell could have happened.
No, he wouldn't. He would have killed somebody first.
Okay.
He would have cut Tim Hardaway Jr.'s throat first.
It's actually Patrick Beverley's fault. I don't know if you see it. He did that yapping mouth motion thing with his hand at Dwight Howard, and from that, and then the Hawks inbounded the ball, and then Howard absolutely crushed him on a pick and roll, and from that moment forward, the game was never the same.
Oh, so you're saying basically it was exactly opposite of what happened to Steph Curry last night?
Oh, no, it was the same exact thing.
No,
same exact
but see,
thing.
Here's the thing, is the well, result, no, no. The result that Steph Curry ended up
right.
coming out with was
I see what you're
a
saying.
Lot
I see
different.
What you're saying.
Because
I was
going to
say
since,
the impact.
Yeah.
The physical impact was the same. That's what I was saying. I know what you mean. I know
yeah, the because after that pick that DeAndre set to kind of shut him up, Steph Curry just decided that, okay, Clay, screw you. I'm going bonkers. I was going to let you do it, and you went off and had a little bit of fun in the first half. They just about knocked me the flip out. I'm going to go as hard as I can. And he did, and it showed. So,
go ahead. I was for me Harden and the rest of the Rockets. We know it's a crapshoot, so I can't even say this guy's
going to be better
than another.
I'm willing to go back to Ryan Anderson in the spot.
Okay.
And
any reason?
Because he sucked ass last night. and you know I'm. Just kind of willing to do it. I don't think there's a lot of. You sit there and you look at it. It's definitely not a minutes thing, but he still jacked up 12 shots. He only hit 4 of them. He didn't have a lot of assists or anything or rebounds. I'm very much willing. Against, who's going to guard him? Who guards the stretch four for the Chicago Bulls? Are we talking Taj Gibson,
question.
Nikola Mirotic? I'll take Ryan Anderson over those two.
No, it's good. It's good. I completely forgot to talk about my spread notes here, but the one that I said pre-show, I was holding in. You know how much I love my days of the week, right? So the Bulls 5-16 against the spread on Friday nights over the last two seasons. They are not the Orlando Magic.
They are not.
And by the way, the Rockets this season 11-1 on the back end of back to backs. Incredible, incredible. That's all I got to say about that. All right. So whatever with the Rockets, Jimmy Harden and Dunn. What are you doing with the Bulls here? Because there's certainly a couple areas you can attack. We already talked about one. Another man named Jimmy.
I don't. I might have a little bit of interest in Sideshow Bob.
Oh, you know why that's a good idea?
Because the Rockets suck against centers?
Sure, sure. Well, here's another reason, too, and another one of my favorite stats. But the Rockets are now giving up the second most points inside the paint. They have overtaken
you mean
the Lakers.
Almost caught the Thunder.
Almost. I believe they're 0.2 away from them. But
so you're saying
they came out of nowhere because I haven't this is one of my favorite stats, so I look at the stat basically every day, and then the Rockets just like catapulted up after last night. I believe Harden and Howard combined for like 4,800 points inside the paint last night, if I'm not mistaken. I might be off by a decimal point, but very close. That's an NBA record.
Yeah.
So yeah, for that reason, Robin Lopez, Taj Gibson could both be in play here. Very sneaky.
Yeah, I kind of like it. So.
All right. Here's another interesting point here too. The Bulls don't play again until Monday, so this could be an interesting spot for the because Dwayne Wade, typically they like to rest him if they're playing it back to back, something like that. So he could see a lot of minutes tonight. I'm not. Totally in favor of it because he might be the one that draws the Patrick Beverley matchup. So Not the best, but it could be a sneaky GPP play.
I'm still not worried about it. Dwayne Wade is savvy enough to where, I mean, I guess at his price, it's something that you got to kind of pay attention to. But other than that, yeah, I'm not too worried about, even if it is Patrick Beverley. I still think, because I don't think that Patrick Beverley is going to be on him the whole time. Sure.
It's by the way, the Rockets. I'm sorry. No, that's not even. Never mind. Sorry. Go on.
I was about to say, sure, it's not an ideal matchup, but it's not one that I would be too worried about shying away from. Now, he's not definitely not my first option. So, but he definitely is. He definitely is catching my eye, mind you.
Gotcha. Any final thoughts from this one?
Yeah, I'm fading James Harden tonight.
Okay. I don't mind it. I don't mind it.
I think Jimmy Butler's going to be on him all night.
It's all right.
And
Harden,
let's see,
said he, tougher matchup.
He's now 12-5 on DraftKings. He is 12-2 on FanDuel. I can get Russell Westbrook at a much, much, much lower ownership. I can get DeMarcus Cousins probably at a lower ownership. Giannis at a lower ownership. Or Isaiah probably not at a lower ownership. But I think on FanDuel, people are going to default to Harden and Isaiah Thomas. Just that's what their default first two people they're going to put in is. Just because of the quote-unquote matchups. Because people are going to think that Dwayne Wade is going to be on James Harden all night. And I don't think that's even close to being a possibility.
Well, the Rockets are going to do well. Harden should. But you're right. I mean, in terms of ownership percentage, certainly. All right, let's get to your boys. Your neck of the woods. Memphis Grizzlies at the OKC Thunder. Thunder, only 1.5-point favorites in this one. The money line favorites as well at -120. Total at 204 in this one. A couple notes here. Season series is tied. Memphis rolled the Thunder by 34 in the first meeting, but the Thunder came back with an 8-point win the next time. Six of the last nine Grizzlies Thunder games have gone under the total. Grizzlies, they're on the front end of a back-to-back. They're in Minnesota tomorrow night, and only injury news is on the OKC side of things. Enes Kanter's out indefinitely with a broken forearm. Alex Abrines, questionable, missed the last two games with back spasms. All right, again, back to the one-and-done theory. Russell Westbrook, not too shabby. He's actually averaging just under 60 FanDuel points per game at home this season, which is five more than he does on the road. He did just drop 57.6 against the Grizzlies a couple weeks ago. I bet he can do it again.
Yes. Yes, please. And that's not just a one and done on this on the Thunder tonight. Steven Adams is grossly underpriced on DraftKings. He's $4,900. And Domantas Sabonis is $3,200. So Domantas Sabonis, look, since Enes Kanter's been out, he played, 22 minutes the other night? I'm looking here.
We got a guy in the Army that's a big Sabonis fan.
Yeah, Troy Boy. He asked me about him the other day.
At him and let him know.
Yeah, he asked me about him the other day, and I was just like, please tell me you didn't play him, because I hadn't been going and looking at it. He played 22 minutes and got only hit 1 of 10 from the field. The dude's going to play 25 to 35 minutes. Billy Donovan wants to play him more. As long as he can stay out of foul trouble and he doesn't turn the ball over. Dude, he put up 31 DK points against San Antonio and turned the ball over six times. The last three games, he shot the ball 10, 11, and 12 times. I'm going to get 10 shots For $3,200 and probably $3,500 on FanDuel, if I'm not mistaken. Yep, $3,500. You're going to tell me that? Yes, I'm going to have some exposure to him. He is.
Yeah, I'm glad we had this discussion.
He's a Woga. He's a winner go home play. Because if he goes for 20, he's going to kill me? No. But he has 7, 10. He has 10x upside. That's kind of hard to pass up, even in a slower paced game at a lower ownership, because he's still going to put up shots. And he's going to play the minutes because nobody's taking charge of that second unit. Look, I know Joffrey Laverne's been playing more minutes, but, he's only eclipsed 20 once since Enos Kanter went out. And so he's not taking it. Jeremy Grant, we thought we could play small, but he's only eclipsed 25 minutes once. He's not even in play because his ceiling is about 20. Nobody's taking this. And so I am very much willing to go to DeMontis Sabonis tonight.
Gotcha. All right. A team's best critic is one of their fans. So where on the Grizzlies can we attack OKC?
Everywhere.
Hey!
That's a bit much. Mike Conley. Tony Allen. We had this situation. Is this in Memphis or is it in Oklahoma City? It's in Oklahoma City.
Right? This is an OKC.
We had this situation. We had Tony Allen on his birthday going to get. Yeah, I'm gonna throw in a couple. I'm gonna throw Tony Allen in a couple lineups just because he's done pretty well usually against Oklahoma City. Also for Oklahoma City, if Alex Abrines is out, I don't mind Victor Oladipo. He's been eating up some of that usage with the second unit again. So. If Chandler Parsons is out, then you can go to James Enos. If not, then I can, for everything we just said about DeMontis Sabonis, we can pretty much say about Chandler Parsons. He's only going to play 22 minutes, but, if he jacks up right around that 8 to 12 shot mark, which he has before, and he's a wing player, so there's a very good chance that he could. He's worth a flyer in tournaments. But I'm really, really, really looking to Jamichael Green and Zach Randolph and Mark Gasol. What is this price over there on DraftKings or FanDuel? Can't do it on FanDuel, but I can do it on DraftKings.
Yeah, I like the Randolph play. Not too expensive, not exactly in the bargain bin at the grocery store, but we've talked about going at power forwards in OKC all season, so yeah, I don't mind it. If Randolph's going to get busy inside the paint, not really too many other places, so I can do it.
And he's not liked in Oklahoma City. Like this is a
I can't imagine
this
why.
Is a grind. Out, like, you do not. Oh my gosh.
Is it too much, the situation for you right now?
No, I'm just.
We need to take a minute.
I'm trying to think, like, because I was about to say this is not a game that you would want to include in a game stack, but it almost kind of feels like a perfect tournament game stack because of the fact that nobody's going to really want to do it,
Right.
You don't want to load up on multiple pieces from this game in the same lineup if you are making, less than five lineups. You just don't want to do it because it's not going to it's going to get ugly and it's probably not going to end well for you.
Express Lake Killer.
Yeah, it's it's one of those things like these teams, they're always hard fought battles. and Russ just has to do everything right now. I wouldn't pair him with anybody. It's just not gonna. This game's gonna end up like 98-89 or 94-89. I mean, I don't even see it reaching 200. But Westbrook can do everything that he can do, and it hit 200. So,
see, with such a, Vegas is like in a close game here. You could really catch lightning in a bottle if you get overtime. But,
oh,
I mean,
absolutely. Like I said, if you're scripting it, then, maybe throw in a game stack and hope that you get overtime. Because besides Westbrook, and even Westbrook really, there's going to be a lot of lower ownership in this game. And I think that it's a really, really, really good strategy to kind of, like you said, steal lightning in a bottle. So,
as we were speaking, I didn't even realize this, but Memphis now owns the favoritism by a point in this game.
Oh, you didn't know that?
Nope.
I thought that's what you said. Sorry.
Thanks for listening. All right, let's get to our next one here. We're going to Beantown. Beantown! Celtics, 11.5-point favorites over the Lakers in this one. Minus 900 on the money line. Total 221. Has not moved since last night. Lakers are in the back end of a back-to-back where they are 3-8 this season. The teams have not met this season either. For the Celtics, they're the only injury news. Lakers don't have any. Avery Bradley is questionable. He's missed 12 of the last 13 games with the Achilles injury. Kelly Olynyk, questionable. He missed the last game with a strained shoulder. Let's just start with the Celtics since we're there already. Isaiah Thomas, 50-plus fantasy points in 4 of his last 5 games. Gets a matchup tonight with the worst defense in the association. How do you pass that up?
You don't. That's one of the reasons why I think Russell Westbrook's ownership is going to be a little bit lower, is because I think people are going to go to Isaiah Thomas a lot, which is, an optimal play. He's, $2,000 cheaper. He's, one of those. He's a great play. The issue is the Lakers are coming off the third game in 4 nights. They're on the back end of a back-to-back, and we have no idea what that rotation is going to be. The even bigger issue is the fact that besides Isaiah Bradley, or sorry, not Isaiah Bradley, Avery Bradley.
You trying to morph players again, man.
Besides Avery Bradley, who do we really want to target on the Boston side of things? Because
I know.
Go ahead.
Oh, yes, yes. All right, so. We got plenty of places to attack for the Lakers, right? I mean, we could pretty much go anywhere. We got Jay Crowder, been on a great tear, although the price is going up. And incrementally, his points are going down. I got a fancy graphic for the article today, folks. Don't you worry. But it's actually a pretty cool-looking photo when you look at the – what you'll see it, whatever. All right, so we already know Lakers get crushed by centers this season, right? And – Al Horford could be a popular play. He usually plays the power forward position, though. So we're kind of masking it, right? Well, guess what? Lakers are giving up the most fantasy points to power forwards anyway. So I'm thinking here, little sneaky low ownership here, possible maybe Amir Johnson, Jonas Jerebko.
I can get down with some Amir.
Okay.
I could possibly get down with some Amir.
All right.
And so I kind of like that.
Especially if Olynyk's out.
Yeah, especially. And I don't foresee Olynyk playing tonight. So I could definitely get down with that one. If Avery Bradley comes back, are you playing him? Would he be an option for you to play? Would he then become part of your radar? Because I know you only play two shooting guards a night.
Eh, well, multiple slates nowadays, but
I'm talking main slate.
In the main, I gotcha. I was being a dick.
That's okay. I deserved it after last night. I think.
Yeah, I don't think so.
What's his price over there?
It's going to require some digging, but life is a garden, isn't it? Let's see. $6,500.
Okay. I can understand your hesitation. He's $5,500 on DraftKings.
Do you get a free t-shirt with that?
No, but if I can put Evan Fournier and Avery Bradley in my lineup for a combined 10-5 with some of the...
In your rising like the Phoenix comeback lineup of the night?
Yes, with some of my sneakier plays later on. Yeah.
Yeah, that's all the marbles right there.
Yeah.
But then you could also have no marbles.
Oh, I have huevos, son.
And then people look at it and be like, where are your marbles?
My huevos are out on the table for everybody to gaze at in awe.
You have no marbles. I was talking the marbles in the head, not the Tanaka marbles.
Oh, well then we're totally off base today.
But you could also say, there are my marbles. I think everybody gets the point here. But yeah, certainly a risk. I mean, look, how many times have we seen it so far this season where the guy, we don't know if he's going to play, and then he goes bananas. Who the hell knows? But
more times than I'm willing to admit that I didn't play the guy.
I think it's safe to say the Celtics are going to roll in this one just by how much.
Well, look, I don't predict blowouts, but I am saying that the Lakers are coming off of a 3-4 back end of a back-to-back where they legitimately had to work hard to get back in that game last night, and the Wizards almost let them steal one. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Okay, take that for what you will. But I'm not going to have too much exposure outside of game stacks to the Lakers. And that includes D'Angelo Russell, who has been balling out probably the best of his career, to be completely honest.
Let's talk about him for a second. Because
please, let's.
Back in him a back-to-back, he just returned 2 games ago. 3-4. Is he a rest candidate?
He could be.
Okay.
I don't know if he would be a rest candidate.
It gives me some interest in Jordan Clarkson.
Lou Williams.
Yeah. But I think either way, Clarkson could be interesting here because, say, the game gets out of hand. Very good chance of it with what Vegas is saying. I think it's pretty good calculated risk here.
Yeah, because he was playing 36, 35 minutes when Russell was out. He comes back. Now all of a sudden he's playing 21 to 29. I mean, yeah, I guess you could talk me into that. I had an argument with a friend the other night that said, you know, against Denver, Lou Williams was the play. And I kind of laughed at him because I was like, there's no way that Lou Williams was the play. Because when D'Angelo Russell is back, Lou Williams is the guy that takes almost the direct, indirect hit. And he goes, well, he went for 40. I was like, I don't care about the result. I want the process. And that's something that we yell at and yell at and yell at. Tariq Black continues to play 18 to 25 minutes. He's $4,000 now.
I do like Tariq Black. I may never go back. See what I do?
Yeah. And Ivaka Zubac. Okay, so here's a little game theory. Ivaka Zubac, he was higher owned because of the 29-25 point game. He comes out and he drops 11 minutes for 8.6 FanDuel points. Do you go back to him in a really, really, really good matchup tonight?
It is a very tasty matchup. I certainly could. And you know what I've been noticing with his minutes? They like Walton likes to play him in competitive games. And you know, I know that kind of goes against everything that we're saying, but I have a feeling he'll get enough minutes in this matchup. Well, let's put it this way. I think he'll be able to do some pretty good things early in this game that'll make Walton say, you know, we should probably have him out there some more tonight. Everybody's teeing off on the Celtics front court. So, yeah, especially because Black played so many minutes last night, I think Zubac's going to be afforded more opportunities, and I think he will capitalize on those opportunities.
Yeah, that's just a little bit of game theory. Because he was higher owned last night, because it was a short game slate. So I think his ownership percentage is going to absolutely plummet today. And I really kind of do like that. There's a lot of the mid-tier centers today that, you know, you can't overlook. Because if you do, you could miss out on a chance to go get a Russell Westbrook and Isaiah Thomas in your lineup at the same time.
And you will die. And I also am a sucker for good names that you can chant. So
Ibaka Zubox.
I'm a big sucker for that. There was a guy last year I couldn't help myself. I had to play him every night. But we're not here to talk about last year. So, yeah, those are, you know, I have a feeling this Lakers-Celtics game is going to have some ridiculous ownership levels in it. But, you know, we've laid out some plays on the opposite end of the ownership spectrum, if you will. All right, let's get to our next game here. We'll be getting to that John Denver, Rocky Mountain High, Colorado. The Bucks are at the Nuggets. Nuggets 2-point favorites in this one, -130 on the money line. Over under is set for 204. Bit low. I don't get it, but you know, let's get into it. No injuries for the Bucks, but the Denver Nuggets. My, is that the opposite? Nikola Jokic is questionable. Missed the last three games with a hip injury. I'd be surprised if he plays. Danilo Gallinari is out. He's got the MRI on the groin. Came back negative. Could possibly miss Saturday's game too. Manuel Mudiay and Will Barton, both questionable. Mudiay's got back soreness. Barton's missed the last two games with the ankle injury. And then Kenneth Faried is probable. He's got some hammy soreness. I guess given the news, what we got here, Wilson Chandler and your boy Jamal Murray, top two Nuggets plays?
Yes. Yes. Okay. Yes. And well, and I mean Gary Harris. He's interesting as well.
Yes.
Jameer Nelson is actually very interesting if Emmanuel Mudiay is out. You want to know why?
Because he got ejected last game.
The dude played 4 minutes. 4 minutes.
I love playing people who come off ejections.
No kidding. So yes, he's definitely an option as well. So I guess we'll just kind of see. This game is one that I'm a little leery of because of a guy that we're going to talk about here in a second. But, you know, Danilo Gallinari is probably now going to be a Nugget for the rest of the season. The issue I have with playing Wilson Chandler is his story came out yesterday that he wants out of Denver. Like he's done. He's having one of the best seasons of his career and is basically being treated like a seventh man. Not even a sixth man, a seventh man. Right. Is from what this story is. And it's a reputable beat writer. As well. So, he was, part of that Melo trade from the Knicks, if you remember correctly.
Oh yeah.
And he is extremely extremely in such a good spot tonight, as long as he doesn't get Giannis Antetokounmpo.
You kind of have a feeling that he will, though, because they're, you know, like one's a homeless man's version of the other one.
And it's not like he's cheap value either.
Right.
You know, it's not like we're getting a replacement for $3,300 or $3,500 or, you know, $4,300 or whatever, you know, to replace a $7,000 starter and that's going to get a bump in minutes. Yeah, he's going to get a bump in minutes. He's going to be able to shoot the ball more, but we're talking maybe a 10-minute bump, and we're talking maybe a little bit more as far as shots. I don't know if I want to do that.
Yeah, me and you are on the same page here, as per usual. But people are going to see that 50 in his game log against the Lakers, and they're just going to run to that. I'll take a look at the total and, you know, just be like, oh, damn, 204 for a Denver game is like
That's like a 195.
Against Holy Cross game. You know, that's terrible. Why is it that low? I know that's not going to affect every single person in the game, but it definitely makes me look at it and say, gross.
We should have a total of about,
like 215, I'm thinking, for a game like this. But, you know, and then on that note, I totally, now we got to back it up because I had the wrong total on the game. Total's 221.5. I feel like a douche.
I feel like a douche for not following along.
Yeah, I don't even know how I got that wrong. That is like, that's not even close. All right, so, anywho, I guess that makes both guys a little better. I mean, for me, I would probably lean, I was going to lean towards Antetokounmpo anyway, just because, I mean, look, we've seen so many point guards do well against the Nuggets this season. So, I mean, that just seems like a better option. You know, the news for Chandler, I guess, you know, since the total gets bumped up 17 points, I guess that is a better outlook. But I would say it's
still not if he gets Giannis Antetokounmpo defense.
No, absolutely. And, you know, he's one of the best statistical defenders in the NBA. So, yeah, that could certainly happen.
I think Wilson Chandler might be a fade for the Army tonight.
Okay.
Just because of that. I think I'd rather go with Gary Harris, maybe drawing some Tony Snell. And maybe some... maybe some others. Jamal Murray's interesting. Obviously, we know that guys like, you know, Mike Miller aren't going to make an appearance. It's really going to depend on exactly how these guys are determined to be playing or not. Because if Nikola Jokic is playing, then he's the only Denver Nugget I want. I don't think he's going to play. Because, I mean, we were watching that game and we saw that injury. And, dude, I thought he was done for the year. I don't think he's going to play. But, you know, let's just wait and see. I will tell you this, though. If Nikola Jokic is out and Kenneth Faried is out, I do have interest in JHG. Some Hernan Gomez.
Nacho?
Yeah.
204 total. Just a bit outside. Yeah, you know, there's some decent ones. Now, I know you don't like, I can go back to the Milwaukee side of things, but I know you don't like Jabari Parker on the road, but... yeah, given the fact that this is the Nuggets.
Yeah, you can't probably
gonna
matchup.
Score some points. Well, yeah, I mean, it's an interesting play. I mean, he's severely worse on the road, but I don't know. Always got a soft spot for Jabari.
I just don't know if the production is going to be able to be there. Now, there's also something else that we have to talk about in this one. The Milwaukee Bucks decided that they were going to trade Miles Plumlee to the Charlotte Hornets because the Charlotte Hornets just want all the tall white guys in the lead. in the league. I'm surprised they didn't make a bid for Yusuf Nurkic. But they just want... If you're sitting there and you're thinking about it, you've got Greg Monroe now that is probably going to start, and John Henson that's probably going to play a lot. If these two coming over, Spencer Hawes and Roy Hibbert, aren't going to be there or be active or play or whatever, I kind of have a little bit of interest in guys like John Henson and Thon Maker over Greg Monroe. And it's only as part of a game stack with it.
Apparently. Yeah, this is an interesting one. I mean, obviously, you know, this move was made in order for something coming up in the future.
Yeah, there's like somebody's because I was like, what the hell are they supposed to do with four centers now? They're gonna
I believe, yeah, because the contracts are expiring, I believe. So that is the case, right? I'm not just talking
about there's here. Well, Hawes has a player or has an option for next year. I can't remember if it's a player or if it's a team, but Roy Hibbert's contract's expiring. Yes.
All right. Yeah, so, you know, for tonight, I don't really have a feeling on it. I probably wasn't going with any of those guys anyway, but, or anybody in that, you know, Milwaukee center situation.
Just because I know people are going to ask about Greg Monroe.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't know if Greg Monroe is the play here. Because that's, again, asking us to trust Jason Kidd with a guy that... He loves to play him 35, sandwiched between a 17 and a 24.
Yeah, and then he loves to be a douche.
I mean we're talking about trusting Jason Kidd with somebody other than Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Won't do
and Jabari
it.
Parker.
Can't do it.
Yeah, so that's very, very difficult to do.
Okay, talking about the Nuggets, both of these coaches is just making my head hurt. So let's just move it along, shall we?
That could make it even worse.
All right, we got two games left here. This is actually a pretty cool after-hours slate to deal with here. So we've got the Phoenix Suns at Sacramento Kings. Kings 4.5-point favorites, minus 185 on the money line. Total here of 218. This team's met only once before this season. Kings won by 19 points, and that one in Phoenix. Kings are actually 7-2 straight up and against the spread against the Suns in their last 9 meetings. Both teams have games tomorrow, both at home for them. And Jared Dudley, questionable for the Suns. He missed the last game with an illness. And then for the Kings, they got a couple here. Garrett Temple, he's going to be out indefinitely. He's got a partially torn hamstring. Omri Caspi's out indefinitely with a foot injury. And Ty Lawson is questionable, injured his hand during the last game. And, of course, Rudy Gay out for the season with the Achilles injury. So let's start with the home team, the Kings here. DeMarcus Cousins actually has been named in trade talks with the Suns. So this could be a little audition for his future employer here. Look, he's just been absolutely crushing it. And it's funny, not the fact that Rudy Gay got injured, but all the games since Rudy got injured were that 8-game road trip that they were just on in 12 days. Boogie's absolutely crushed it. You know, again, just 8 games in 12 days is hugely stressful. But if it wasn't the first and the last game of that road trip, he absolutely smashed it. So it's an absolutely great matchup tonight against the Suns. You were talking a lot about some value options at the center position today. I don't know, man. Boogie back at home, well rested. This could be magical glory all over the joint.
Oh, don't get me wrong. Boogie Cousins is the top center option of the day. But I'm talking like on a site like Fantasy Draft or Fantasy or DraftKings where you can play multiple centers. There's some options around the league at the center position today. There's also some options in this game that people aren't going to... first off, I'm just going to let everybody know I'm probably going very, very, very heavy on Darren Collison today.
All right.
Ty Lawson is banged up. He's questionable. I hope we don't get word so I can get him at a lower ownership. I'm willing to take that shot. I'm willing to take that shot tonight because this is a fantastic matchup. I also, I'm going to leave a couple of these other ones for the guys in the Army because I don't want to give everything away for free.
I dig.
But there's some other options that I do like in this game as far as on the lower end as well. But with that said, it's very, very, very difficult not to just say, all right, Boogie, let's go to work.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, I mean, look, without Rudy Gay and Garrett Temple in the lineup or just off the court, he's got a usage rate of 40%.
Yep.
40. It's actually 39.9 if you want to be a dick about it, but I rounded up 0.1. Yeah, it's unbelievable, the user right there. So, yeah, him and Collison could be great. I already know the plays that you're talking about, so I'll just keep my trap shut. But I do like one in particular.
Ooh.
At the shooting guard position.
Yes.
And his name.
Nope.
Yeah. Okay.
Right, let's go to Phoenix.
Let's talk about the Suns, though. So I don't even tiptoe around it anymore.
Yes. Because I don't want you to give it away. Okay. So we got to leave something for our subs.
Okay.
So.
Fair enough.
Here is an issue that we have with the Phoenix Suns. Is where do we attack the Sacramento Kings?
Let's just say backcourt.
Yes. Where do we really, really, really like to attack the Sacramento Kings? Like, specifically.
Shooting guard, my friend.
Absolutely. Devin Booker is in a phenomenal spot. And here's my issue with this.
Oh, no. Why is there an issue?
Because I don't think there's a middle road that you can take with it. I think you either go all the way or you go a different way in the Phoenix Suns backcourt. And what I mean by that is instead of going Devin Booker, you go Eric Bledsoe, who's still in a damn good spot, mind you. A really, really good spot.
Yeah.
If I were playing on FanDuel tonight, and I probably will. I say that if, like now. I would really, really, really think hard in a single entry bullet about fading Bledsoe because of his ownership percentage Booker to go to the higher price Bledsoe and paying up to be contrarian. It could blow up in your face. I'm just letting you know. Because there's a chance that Ty Lawson, who is still not a good defender, but is a better defender than most give him credit for, there still is that chance that he plays and it relegates Darren Collison to the bench, which means that it's not quite as good of a matchup against or for Eric Bledsoe as we're thinking it's going to be. But, yeah, that's a single bullet. Now, if you're playing multiple teams, obviously get exposure to both because they're both in good spots. But
yeah, said it all, my friend. Nothing I could really chime in there with. I'm going to take a couple other options here because I feel like this is one of the better fantasy games of the night when we talk about solid upper echelon players and then value. The value is massive in this game. Not only the prices, but the opportunities these guys are going to get. PJ Tucker, I've just made it official. he's a one-sided coin now. I'm like, I know TJ Warren could probably gonna be the guy to pop off tonight and do it, but I just like, it's not even Tucker. It's just whoever's gonna be with that second unit. You know, I'm gonna like a lot more lately. It's been Tucker getting the better numbers. So I guess you kind of got to roll with that. Although we have seen the two kind of ping pong games back and forth, who the guy's gonna be. But I'm gonna take Tucker more often than not. And then the one I gotta really bring up, Marquise Chris. The last two games,
damn it,
He's played 34 minutes, and in that one he had 30 FanDuel points. The other one he played 28 minutes and had 24.5 FanDuel points. But the most impressive thing about that is who he's done it against. Done it against the Grizzlies and the Clippers in those games. Of course, you know, this is the first time in 2 months that he's seen that many minutes in consecutive games, so you got to be a little bit cautious there. But, you know, for that price, I mean, there's been a ton of times where, you know, you look at the leaderboards a couple nights and you're like, oh, yeah, Marquise Chris, that guy's alive. I don't know if he'll be as sneaky tonight, but certainly a good late night hammer.
I've already heard a couple shows talk about him.
Great.
Beyond us. So he won't be, but you've also got to take into account, do people have the balls to do it?
Probably, because the majority of people can sit there and talk about multi-entry.
Yeah, we can sit there and talk about people have, you know, oh, they can do this and that, and they, you know, will talk about guys that are good plays all the time, but then when people go to put them in their lineups, they know that, but then it's like they get
right
chicken, they're afraid that, oh well, this guy, he's, you know, there's no way that this guy
or Keith Chris
again.
No,
yeah.
Way
sounds
so. Like a drink at TGI Fridays.
Oh man, so yeah, that's
speaking of drinks at TGI Fridays, no.
That's one of those things that, you know, can he? Yes. Will he? We'll find out. But there's definitely a good chance that he is not under 5% owned tonight. Which, if we still get him at 7, then who cares? But there's a good chance, because I've heard a couple people already kind of pop off with his name, that it doesn't happen.
I sometimes forget that other people do podcasts. We're not the only one.
Yeah, and we're not the only, and other people do it that are, you know, very well respected and not so well respected around the industry, that are good at what they do. So
we the best. Who we? All right, last game of the night, grand finale. Get your, it's your last chance for romance, friends. All right, got the Portland Trailblazers at home. They are 4.5-point favorites, 5.5-point favorites now against the Dallas Mavericks. We got a total of 206 currently. Season series is tied. Both teams have one on each other's home court, which is interesting to note. Mavericks, they don't play again until Monday, but they do have a couple injury notes here. Darren Williams is questionable. He's missed the last four games with a toe injury. Andrew Bogut, doubtful, missed the last two games with the hamstring. And J.J. Barea out indefinitely with a calf injury. On the Portland side of things, Ed Davis probable to come back to the lineup. He's missed the last five games with the wrist injury. All right, let's talk about the Blazers first. Let's give them the respect since they're the home team. Lillard's had some pretty decent totals against the Mavs. Well, the 34.6 was decent, but 51.8 was tremendous. I felt like the last time they played was against the Hornets, right? The other night? That was their last game? Yes, and, you know, Lillard could have done, like, that was the best I've seen him look since coming back from the injury. He could have had a much better total out there had it not been for them kicking the shit out of the Hornets in that game. They really showed Batum what they were missing in that one. So that Lillard could be fine here. I certainly dig it, especially if he gets Yogi, or if he gets Yogi defense. But CJ McCollum is interesting here. Did you know in two performances against the Mavericks this season, he has failed to reach 20 fantasy points?
Who's this?
CJ McCollum.
Wow.
Yeah. No shit.
Wow.
Speechless. Mind blown.
That's, yeah, that's...
But
maybe
the Mavericks say tonight with their game plan, hey, fuck that McCollum guy. He sucks. Leave him open all you want. And then he makes them pay.
Yeah. It's the Blazers at home, dude. It's plain and simple. Here's a disclaimer. Oh, we'll get to that. Get to him here in a second. But, yeah, it's the Blazers at home. I mean, I've got interest in Lillard, obviously, McCollum, Plum Dog,
Millionaire.
Yes. I mean, Alfred Camino is intriguing. Maybe some Evan Turner or Maurice Harkless. I'm not quite sure yet. One of those could find his way into a couple lineups. It's Portland at home. They're in play. So I love them at home. I play them at home. So wow, AT&T, you suck.
Why?
My data usage for this month has reached 16.5 gigabytes. If I exceed the 22 gigabytes before the next cycle on 2/6 of 2017, which is like in 3 days, so I'm not going to do it.
Right.
Then I can receive. I can still use unlimited data. However, I will have slower speeds. Didn't you already slow my speeds down already because I've gone over 10?
Screw you. And you're in the middle of the country, you know, so I'm assuming fewer cell phone towers.
Oh, we've got a lot around here.
That wasn't even a shot at the Midwest. That was legit logistics right there. How you like that?
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. I can get down with all those, all of the above. I mean, look, the Vegas money line here, -185 for the Blazers at home, raises one eyebrow, not both, just one. Dwayne Johnson style. So, you know, and look, the Mavericks have been playing pretty well lately. I'm not going to undercut them.
Did you hear what Rick Carlisle did to kind of reset their season?
He beat everyone.
No, on the whiteboard in the Mavericks training or the locker room, he drew a big reset button. I kid you not.
So corny. So, you know, Carlisle, he is a pilot, like certified and everything.
Yeah, I know.
Good for him. I still don't like the reset button move. That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. But hey, if it works, it works, right?
It works, evidently, because they've been playing a lot better. And you want to talk about a team that knows how to play with shit on the wall? And I'm talking, look, guys, you're starting Seth Curry and Yogi Ferrell. And I mean, they know how to scrap it. So there's some interest.
Yeah, you know what you do? And if you want to be successful, you load your team up with Duke players and former Nets. And
let's not even talk about Dukies.
Anywho, all right. So, yeah, I mean, look, you can do all that for the Blazers. That's fine. Coming back on the other side of things for the Mavs, Dirk has really struggled in these last two games. I don't even think he's gotten to 20 FanDuel points, speaking of that feat. I mean, Harry Barnes been doing a little better lately here. Wesley Matthews' revenge game did have 30 FanDuel points against them back in February. I mean, there's certain areas here. I think this might just be us being lazy since it's the last game on the slate.
No, it's not.
All right, well, then it is for me. I'm tired, man. I haven't slept in a while.
All right. So let's break down the Dallas Mavericks here. And we're just going to go kind of like a positional type thing.
Sure.
Where do you think Dirk plays tonight? Because here's – okay. So let me put out a disclaimer.
Sure.
We in the DFS Army are not chasing Salah Mejri. Repeat after me. We in the DFS Army are not chasing Salah Mejri. Okay, now that we've got that part out, where do you think Dirk probably plays?
Assume the center position.
Okay, so if we're thinking that he's going to be at the five, Then we really, 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 really need to look at possibly. I mean, if he's at the five, then that's going to put Harrison Barnes at the four. It's going to put Wesley Matthews at the three and Seth Curry at the two and Yogi Ferrell at the one. Okay. Which one of those out of that five, if that's their starting five that they're rolling out, which one of those besides Dirk do you not want to have in your lineup?
Do I not want to have?
Yeah, would not be an option for you to take a look at, in other words.
Wow. That's harsh.
Because I know my option.
I don't even know. How about I just I don't know. I don't know. You just go ahead with your answer.
My option is Harrison Barnes.
Okay.
And the whole reason is because I think they're going to, like, because look, we know that Dirk can pop off and everything, but Dirk is not the same guy that he used to be. We all know this, but if I'm Terry Stotts tonight, I sit Noah Vonleh's ass on the bench and I stick Al Farouq Aminu on Harrison Barnes. Then again, that would make sense, and we all know that NBA coaches don't make sense. So,
correct.
Yeah, he's the guy I have the least interest in the starting lineup. I think Wesley Matthews is a good option. He struggled the last couple games. I think he can put up some shots. I think they're going to need him to put up some shots. And I think Seth Curry is obviously in play. And I think that Yogi Ferrell is probably going to be your highest owned value point guard of the night.
Sold.
So, especially if Deron Williams is out. Honestly, it probably wouldn't even matter because Mark Cuban came out and said that we're going to sign him for the rest of the year. So,
smart move.
I mean,
smart move. Just watch your picnic baskets.
Yeah, no kidding. So, yeah, I think Yogi Ferrell. I think those are your options. And obviously, they're all good options. Now, if Deron Williams is in and he's, if we get this word before, before lock, like regular lock, then I have no problem as long as he's not on minutes restriction going to him either. Depending on what his price is. Hold on. Yeah, 5,500. He's not bad on DraftKings. He is a little too expensive for me on FanDuel, though, at 62. But yeah, Yogi Ferrell's still not cheap enough. Seth Curry is now 6,300. I think that might and possibly could lower his ownership a little bit. I don't think it should tonight. If you're going a single bullet and you want to get exposure to that backcourt for the Dallas Mavericks, I think you can go Wesley Matthews and get a lot of far lower ownership percentage if that's a route you decide to choose. But yeah, other than that, I'm not chasing the Dwight Powell Solomon Mesri at all. Either one. So.
Oh wow. Breaking news. Colin Coward is having dinner with Rex Ryan tonight. Breaking. Hot take. All right.
Is that important?
That's going to do it. I don't know. He's just been ripping them forever. All right, we're out of here. I got to finish up this article and get it out before 2 p.m. Eastern time, which would be a new record this season. You're all going to love it. Well, by the time you're done listening to this point in the podcast, it should be out. So, that'll do it. You can find me on Twitter at 14a.walsh, Keith at Boomers DFS Daddy. Remember, if you're not a member with the DFS Army, dfsarmy.com. Promo code podcast, 20% off each month of your subscription. You get the DFS Slack chat. You get Boomer's Ballers cheat sheet, updated projections, and the Domination Station. Once again, dfsarmy.com, promo code podcast. You'll hear our beautiful voices again on Monday, but see us in the Slack chat if you remember. Peace out.
Peace.